This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There was a lot of people dressed up in traditional Japanese garb. We had tuna cut open. Some of the players participated in that, which was scary for a second with players with knives in their hands. But other than that, great. And then, as much as anything, like it was. This is the word that kizuna, which is like a Japanese word for bond, and that started for our team like last night, I thought, with a great party, and being able to be together. And you know, this is the start of a journey for our team. And I thought the party last night that Shota and Saya did a fabulous job with, and we're so grateful that they organized it, was the start of that journey and the start of that kizuna, if I'm saying the word right, for our team.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mark Grody's in for Mully today. That was the voice of Craig Counsell in Tokyo, the manager of the Cubs, speaking on what is the purpose or what is the value of a trip like this. There are a lot of experiences they are going through for the first time. They are managing their way through Japanese customs, and kizuna is the Japanese term symbolizing the bonds that tie people together through friendship and family and community, according to the definition of the word. And that's great. Is that the takeaway from this Cub trip? Is that enough? Mark Grody, do you think that baseball matters? They're going to play two games against the Dodgers. Does it matter to you as a Cub fan how well they play in those games? Or is this trip going to be the basis and the foundation for a lot of these relationships that matter throughout the course of a long 162-game slog of a season? Is the value just in the trip itself, regardless of the outcome? Is the process more important?
Well, I don't know what this process... This is a process unlike anything that they will have throughout the season. So right. I look at all of this as a... While they're enjoying themselves, and I'm glad that they are, and I'm glad that they're learning new words and doing new things and getting a little bit of culture in their lives, but this is a pain in the butt for everybody involved. They will be memories from it.
They don't look unhappy.
I'm getting to the baseball stuff, okay. Though, Haw. I mean, yeah. like that. It is secondary. It is secondary, and nothing can be normal. There's no way anybody is going to be on their regular schedule. Things are going to feel different. Things are going to feel weird. The time zone change alone. So this is completely about the experience. But in the midst of it, like if you want to talk about the serious stuff, it's so important that Shota Imanaga gets off to a good start, just because it's like, what do you got for an encore based on last season, right? You know what I mean?
I don't know, though. He's going to be facing one of the best lineups on opening day that any major league team has fielded on opening day.
That's a good point. It's a tough ask. So it's a tough ask.
In his homeland, feeling the nerves, I'm sure, managing that anxiety, my expectations for Shota on opening day are very low.
Just because of the Dodgers lineup.
Factors that are contributing to why he might be all over the place. Yeah, he could rise to the occasion, but there's a lot to manage there.
I feel good about Shota early, and probably because he was so dominant early last year for the Cubs, and then there was kind of a natural coming, like finally, after start, we would always say, well, one of these days, there's going to be a bad start. It finally did begin to happen, came down to earth a little bit, but we know how strong he is early, and he probably lost a little bit of that strength. So I feel like he will come out strong.
That's good.
To begin this season.
I hope you're right. I would like a split for the Cubs, but in the meatball moment that I experienced earlier in the show, I think during our extra point, I did wonder aloud about, well, while the rest of the league is worried about fine-tuning the fundamentals in the final days of spring training, the Cubs are mastering Japanese culture and sampling sake and sushi.
Why do you hate Kitsuna so much?
I don't hate that.
Do you hate Tutanka too?
No, I don't. I don't hate any of that. Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great trip, certainly for the families involved. Tommy Haddavy referenced the family atmosphere, and it's great for the wives and the significant others, and I think that's terrific. I do think, though, there's got to be at one point in time, is there going to be a drop-off in the baseball acumen, in the baseball sharpness? Is there going to be a team that is not paying attention to detail or not as fundamentally sound
You mean in general because of this trip where they stunt a little bit of their spring training
Is there a downside to that?
I think there is a downside to it. I mean, we saw that with when the Cubs played. Was that last year when they played in London, or was it 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
And things went bad for the Cubs after that. So, like, there are going to be some built-in excuses if things go poorly for the Cubs over the next couple of weeks, because that is something that will take some time to recover from. I always find it interesting, too, that it's such a and I think there is truth to it, but it's such a default for coaches to say when they go on any road trip that it's going to be a bonding experience, that there will be Kitsuna on these trips. You will hear that from, I'm sure Billy Donovan said it last night, right? The Bulls win their game. They're heading off on a 6-game road trip.
Bonding experience.
Hey, we're going to get a little closer. We're going to be bonding, and we're going to get a little farther away. So that is a default. So I don't know if it's genuine all the time when coaches say, well, this is a chance for us to bond. There is some value to it, but for the most part, it's a pain in the butt. What's going on?
312-644-6767. What do you think the biggest value is of the Cubs' trip to Japan? 904. I have a question. Does everyone think that if things go south for the Cubs at the beginning of the season, that trip to Japan is going to be the cause of it?
It'll be factored in. I guess it will depend, too. If things go sour for the Cubs, is it because they're making errors? Is it because of fundamental mistakes? Is it because the starting pitching?
It certainly could be a crutch.
Right. Well, that's
it
what I'm saying.
Like, as a crutch.
If the Cubs are sloppy losing, then it would be used as a crutch. If it's just because Shota Imanaga and Justin Steele have bad outings, then I don't think you necessarily point to Japan because of that.
Well, I think they could be playing them in Scottsdale, Arizona, or Glendale, or wherever the Dodgers train, and they would have a hard time against that lineup.
Yeah, that's true.
The Dodgers lineup is one of the best that you're ever going to see.
World Series hangover, maybe a little bit of that.
Possibly.
A little something like that.
Plus, the question that we're asking about the Cubs and how distracting this trip could be, or getting them away from the fundamentals. I'm sure the Dodgers, this is like the Beatles arriving for the Dodgers. Even as much as Seiya Suzuki and Shota Imanaga are respected and revered in their homeland, that doesn't even come close to capturing how much Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto and Sasaki to a lesser degree, but it's Ohtani's world.
I think the hipsters though will be like, yo, I'm all about Seiya Suzuki. I'm about Shota. Never mind
the Japanese hipsters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you up on the Japanese hipster community?
Completely. It was like when every Bears fan, when Urlacher played, everybody had a 54. Now every once in a while you break out with, oh, there's a 30. There's a Mike Brown right there. Like, oh, that's a hipster. He went away from it. Oh, there's a 55. That's a Lance Briggs right there. You got to get away from the 54.
Doug Buffon.
So, oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Doug.
Double nickel.
The double nickel.
7-7-9. Dodgers played in Tokyo last year and then won the World Series. It's not an excuse.
They're good.
The Dodgers, though.
Yes, they're an all-star team.
They're the
team.
Best team money can buy. Look at their payroll.
By the way, Otis Wilson, 55-2, Dustin. Show a little respect over there.
Lance Briggs?
Going over there. Well, yeah, I said Lance Briggs. Yeah, he said Lance Doug Buffon.
That's what I
then
of.
Said. Yeah.
Depends
said
what age you are. Depends your,
you know, it does. Yeah, but
of reference.
I've got all generations covered, though.
7-8. If the Cubs win their first 12, people will say, the bonding experience helped them propel to a great start?
No.
Well, if you tell me they're going to win their first 12, I don't care what they claim.
But that's
as
just
the reason.
It. That's just it. When teams are winning, we say everything. You know what I mean? We say, well, maybe it was that bonding experience. Maybe it was Tommy Haddavy going out and talking to the pitcher.
I'm instinctively preparing for the excuses you might hear if the Cubs get off to a slow start.
Paul, do you think the Cubs are going to get off to a slow start?
I'm honestly concerned about that.
Yeah, no, I would be too.
I am concerned about that.
Because of how ragged it was last year, and it was dramatically bad last year. And I say dramatic because they were blown bullpen games.
I try to stay rational about these sports thoughts, right? We try to do that for a living, hopefully, ideally.
To some degree.
Yeah. I am more prone to having meatball moments with the Cubs than any other team that I follow.
Okay, no,
I've been a Cub fan forever.
Uh-huh.
Grew up a Cub fan,
Same.
You know. Loving that and all those things, and I was able to mute that a little bit more when I was, you know, working for the Tribune and having to do that professionally. This radio thing has created the, you know, was reawakened some of the fandom.
Yeah,
because I'm allowed to.
Right? No, you are.
I'm permitted to.
You're a lot like that.
Go Cubs, go.
That's right. Young David Haw's like pissed off. Ivan De Jesus goes 0-for-5.
Yes, I did like that.
And now Dansby Swanson goes 0-for-5. You're just as upset.
Nobody could mimic Jerry Morales like I could at the plate. All right,
that's
basket catch down.
No, you're right, but an occasional Gary Woods start out in center field too. I mean, Haw would get angry. Why is he leading off and not Bob
like
Wills?
And I remember the day that Larry Bittner played first base.
I do too.
And I knew I could spell it when I was a kid because I knew there were two I's in Bittner.
Spell it for everybody.
B-I-I-T-N-E-R. There are two I's and two T's.
You saved yourself.
Two I's and two T's, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. You got it. Double I, double T. I thought you were going to miss that second T.
No.
And I was going to take all of your credibility away from you and give it to Mike Vail.
Oh, I love Mike Vail.
I did too.
I love the reference because he was no Barry Foote.
Nor was he Tim Blackwell.
How about George Mitterwald?
Ooh, George Mitterwald. How about
Cup catchers for 500 outs?
Damon Berryhill.
Oh, that's more recent.
See, I got
that's
all generations covered, man.
A lot of these Cub
Rick
catchers.
Wilkins.
Oh, Rick Wilkins. He was a good Cub catcher.
I loved Rick. Rick Wilkins was one of the first players. I was interning for Fox 32 down the block. He was one of the first players that they let me interview and hold a microphone up to.
He also, wasn't he a platoon guy with Joe Girardi?
Maybe, because Rick Wilkins was a lefty. That is for sure. But I don't remember him necessarily platooning. I remember him being a really good hitter at first. I think
that was your intern moment, Rick Wilkins?
That was my intern, the first time where I was it's such a wild thing when you're 20 years old, you walk into a professional locker room. But I knew the Cubs inside.
Oh, me too.
Out.
I love that experience for you.
Oh, no, it was so, because I was because they just want us to hold the mic. That's what the intern. I'm asking questions. I'm like, I remember you at this time last year, you were going through a slump, and the guy that was doing the camera was like, good God, man, you know everything. I'm like, yeah, I do. I know what Rick Wilkins was doing. And Rick was great, and he was probably about my age.
Number two?
That doesn't sound familiar. I don't know. I don't know.
I have to check. I'm sure it's
Rick Wilkins. I don't remember.
So my intern moment was I was at the South Bend Tribune covering a Cub game for the first time, nervous, walking into the Cub clubhouse.
Very nerve-wracking.
You know who was the greatest to me?
Who?
Sat down, did a story with him.
Do tell.
Greg Maddux.
Really?
Greg Maddux.
Wow.
Terrific.
That's
awesome.
Could
not have been nicer. He had all the time in the world. A little nervous. You know, you sit down first time you interview in a major leaguer.
You got to have somebody like
Greg Maddux was great.
It helps because for some people, their experiences are ruined right away. They get a bad. And back then, man, that Cubs clubhouse was tiny. It was uncomfortable enough as it was being 19 or 20.
So when Mark Grace would light up a cigarette, everyone kind of would smell the smoke.
Winston's, by the way. Full flavor.
319, Girardi and Rick Rona. Of course it was Rick Rona.
Rick Rona, another.
I was thinking Wilkins.
Yeah. Rona, another lefty. Yes. Another lefty. I want to say
lefty.
Rick
Warona. All right, we digress, but it's fun. You look at this year's Cub team, and I do worry, maybe irrationally, about them getting off to a slow start, because I think over the course of 162 games, some of these questions will work themselves out. How good will the catching be? Will Carson Kelly and Miguel Amaya be okay? Will
Is Carson Kelly starting over Amaya? Is he the starter?
Like, I think it depends on who's going to catch the pitching.
Yeah, what are they doing with Amaya this year? Did he recover Amaya enough last year at the end of the season to earn the majority of the catching
Bruce
starts
thinks
this
he's going to catch about 100 games.
Okay. And that makes sense. It does make sense.
90 to 100 games.
That's perfect because you're right. I mean, he had a rough beginning to his season last year, but it ended up okay.
Is PCA going to be the guy that is ready to take off as much as it seems during spring training, or is his momentum now interrupted by that 14-hour flight?
Oh, that's a good
and point. All this pomp and circumstance.
Because he is one of the guys that probably could have used every single minute of spring training
Shaw.
For
every
sure.
Every moment that Matt Shaw is being led around on a tour or being is not a moment that he's probably learning how to throw right from third base.
Who's going to be the guy in this Cubs game that overperforms? I do think it's going to bring this up because I do think it'll be Matt Shaw is going to get three hits. And then it'll be 0-4 the next game.
Who's going to have the Tuffy Rhodes moment?
He's going to have the tough. I'm going Shaw. I don't know if Shaw. I don't think Shaw's going to homer. He's going to have three singles in the game, and then he's going to go 0-4 the next day.
If he goes 0-4 the next day.
No, I don't have a problem with it. It's just the way it works.
I'm
not trying to be negative.
Here's what I'm trying to wonder. If he's going to be even in the opening day lineup because there's going to be a right-hander on the mound.
Oh, okay.
And will they try?
You're always a step ahead, Hall.
Against a tough right-hander, Yamamoto.
Yeah.
And is Matt Shaw going to get his first major league start against a right-hander that's going to maybe make him look all of 22 years old?
Well, what would you put right-hander? I guess Justin Turner, because he's a veteran, I guess maybe would fare well. Do they have a left-handed option?
Gage Workman. Gage Workman, lest we forget. They've been in Japan so long, you forgot about Gage Workman.
Yes.
The next time they're on the field, will Gage Workman still be raking?
Hey, Workman could. Maybe it's Workman. Maybe he's the Tuffy Rhodes.
That would be
of
fun.
This game. Kyle Tucker, wouldn't it be awesome if he blasted off?
If Kyle Tucker,
game?
King Tuck, if he leaves the castle in Tokyo. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Just for Alex Cohen, but for all Cub fans. If Kyle Tucker gets off on the right foot, people are going to be excited.
Oh, absolutely. And it's always important for new free agents or new acquisitions of heavy expectations that they start off fast just for their own comfort and credibility. Like Dansby Swanson. Remember when Swanson came here and he was just on a tear with the Cubs, you know, like after he got over
I barely remember that.
Because
it's been so long since he's been on a tear, let's face it.
I remember it very well because he was as good as anybody in the first half of his first season with the Cubs. And then you're right, there's been this slow digression in his game since then. So there's another guy.
We find out he was not injured.
He was
not healthy.
Right, and we'll see, which drives me crazy.
Is he healthy now?
Then sit him out. You know, don't try to be a hero. It sounds like he's healthy, but we shall see with Swanee. I mean, there is some expectation there.
Let's go out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Our buddy Kevin in Palatine has some thoughts on the Cubs, as he always does. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, David. I kind of have to agree with you a little bit about the start of this season. Two against the Dodgers. If they get one over there, like just get back on the plane and be super happy. But then four, the Cubs never, even when they're great, play good in Arizona. Arizona might have the best pitching staff in the league.
They have
at least three aces. That's a horrible way to start the season. And I also agree with Grody. The Shota did have a couple bumps, but he really did steady it at the end. So I'm not as worried about Shota. Now, I do think there's a very good opportunity for Shohei to hit two 600-foot homers opening day. But I think we might be able to get after their people as well. But I hate the start of our schedule. I hate four in Arizona. Even the best Cubs teams get their rear ends kicked on there. I think once we get through that, though, I do think they're going to win the division. And I think as long as Justin Steele stays healthy, this is a good team. But I do want to vomit about Lance Lynn. Way away. Yuck. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for weighing in, Kevin. I was wondering what he thought about Lance Lynn, because I'm not a big fan of that idea either.
Well,
I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I'm at the point where I want to vomit.
Well, I like the idea that they're thinking about along them lines.
I would prefer not to vomit today.
Yeah, well, that's a preference that I think we all have. But just because of the Assad injury, and I know you're Ben Brown all the way, but I'm more Ben Brown in the bullpen.
I like Brownie.
I do too.
I'm a big fan of Brownie.
He's a very intriguing prospect, but I think he's better off in the bullpen. You like him as a starter, though, huh?
I don't mind that idea. I know people define starters differently.
That's true.
And if his arm is that valuable, the thought is use him in a variety of ways.
It'll be interesting
to see. He could be that guy, but I wonder if he's best in terms of getting all you can out of him every fifth day, whatever he's got.
Put him in a rotation. Give me four innings, whatever.
Yeah. Five and dive.
Four, that's five fine. Plus.
He's a young pitcher. Stay healthy this year. You know, at one point, people were considering him as the closer.
Yeah,
option.
Well, that's just it. I think he has a chance. Like, I think he did have some nice starts.
Such
last
a live
year,
arm,
but I
just so many.
Yeah,
things.
I just think he could be a star out of the bullpen. But then again, I said the same thing about Keegan Thompson. I thought he was going to be.
Oh boy,
he had a chance. He's healthy, right? He's good to go.
But he didn't go on the trip.
He did not go on the trip.
Did not make the trip.
Okay.
Yesterday was his birthday, and he celebrated alone.
Oh wow! I didn't mean to take us there. Is Rob Zastrzewski?
I really
trip,
didn't know that
way.
I was going to go there. I felt bad now. I feel bad for bringing that to everyone's attention. Keegan Thompson, not on the trip.
Will Ryan Presley be one for one? When the Cubs win their first game, will he save the game? And could you imagine? God.
If that happens next Tuesday morning, I'm going to have a great workout Tuesday afternoon.
If he has a save?
I'm going to be pumped. Yeah. Yes.
Or will it be Porter Hodge? Maybe they bring in Porter Hodge, and Haw's like, whoa!
Whoa, that's a big surprise.
Yeah.
I think they're going Presley.
Who's your first Cubs first?
You're all shook up about that.
I love odd jokes. Who is your favorite Cubs first baseman growing up as a child?
That's a tough one.
The Bull?
I liked Leon Durham, but he let me down.
Yeah.
I liked Leon Durham until that night.
84.
1984.
Ball right under his legs.
I don't think it was at night, though, David.
It was an afternoon.
It was a day game. It was a horrible day game.
I remember the AV crew bringing in. I wheeled in a television set to my classroom.
God. Mm-hmm. You're like Alan Wiggins is leading off. Yeah. Anthony Rizzo, but that was wasn't fan
I wasn't
years.
I wasn't
of course
a
not.
Kid when Anthony
no,
Rizzo was playing.
You weren't. You just weren't.
Go Dave Kingman, he played any first base?
I don't know that he did.
He played some. I bet you he did.
He probably did.
Well, let's ask Ron Coomer. I'm sure he has a favorite first baseman.
Oh, I'd love to ask
Coomer. We're going to talk Coomer when we come back. He's out in Arizona. He'll bring us up to date. Maybe he's seen Nico Horner around. Find out what's up with the Cubs second baseman. It's Molly and Hall, Grody in for Molly, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in his zone.
Ron Coomer,
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Boomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder, Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully. And our guy, Ron Coomer, now joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Coom is a busy man. He's in Arizona now, but this weekend he's going to be in Lockport at his place for Coom's Corner and St. Patrick's Day festivities. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, 4:30 a.m. pregame shows right here on The Score. Tuesday and Wednesday, Cubs Dodgers. And then Coom, the brand ambassador on Cubs Radio for Yuengling Beer, the new official beer of the Cubs Radio Network on The Score. Yuengling Beer. Yes, Coom. You are doing it all. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David. Marcus, how are you? How are you guys?
Doing well, and looking forward to a very busy weekend. How are you viewing what's going on in Japan and what the value is of the trip for the Cubs?
Well, I think it's important. The trip for the Cubs, to answer your question, I think it's important because you're playing two ball games and you got to win, right? You want to win games. So those games matter. The season has started. And you want to win. I do believe, you know, in reading some of the quotes from Counts over in Japan from this morning, it is important for our league. And I understand that fully, that, you know, it shows that baseball's a game that everybody in the world is watching. There's extreme hype in Japan over these games and you know, some of the Japanese guys going back home to play, and two of them in particular for the Cubs. I'm really happy for them. You know, to me, I remember coming home to play for the first time in Chicago. Could you imagine being out of your country for, you know, your baseball seasons and going back to your homeland and having your country cheering for you to play, you know, for the Cubs? So that's going to be really exciting for Sheldon Saya.
Yeah, no, I think all of it's cool. All the stuff that we, you know, we had Tommy Hotovy on earlier, and sounds like he's having a blast out there. But the one thing about it all too, Coom, and you're right, it is good for the game. I think it's going to be neat.
Yep.
I will be watching closely. It's also a big pain in the butt and not necessarily ideal for the Cubs to be doing all this, is it, Coom?
Well, there is some travel issue. There's no doubt. It is a very long flight.
Uh-huh.
The good thing about that, if there's such a good thing as being on a plane too long, is it's still in spring training. So I think this is a much better situation than doing this during the regular season, because we've experienced that coming home from London and things didn't work out real well and the travel is very difficult. In season, and you get 24 hours, and now you're playing a regular season game. So at least now, for your starting nine, starting eight, and then some other guys, they're going to have 3 or 4 days to shut down and, you know, take batting practice and just kind of be like, okay, if I need sleep, I just sleep. And that's okay, and that's good. So if there's a good time to do this, Mark, I would say this is definitely the time during spring training.
Coom, got to ask you about the Bob Nightingale report in USA Today about the Cubs negotiating with Lance Lynn, who will be 38 next week, was 23 starts for the Cardinals last year. Not sure how much he has left in the tank and not sure what would motivate the Cubs who want to go that direction. What do you think?
Well, until it happens, we'll just see. What I really feel is that I think everybody in the league is looking around and seeing these things happen. You know, the Garrett Cole thing has had, you know, reverberated all through the Cactus League over the last few days. And, you know, being with some of the Yankee people at Sloan Park the other day, you know, you look and you start reevaluating again here towards the end of camp. Do we have enough starting pitching? Mm. Is there someone out there that makes sense? And, you know, as a pitcher and financially, and, you know, so I think some of that probably has something to do with it. And maybe it doesn't for the Cubs, but I think, David, at the end of the day, you need pitching, you need more pitching, and then guess what? You need more pitching than that. So that's my take on it, right? You can't have enough pitching.
Well, let's stay on that, because one of the guys that David and I, Coombe, were just discussing and what his role will be this year is Ben Brown, because you are looking at the end of that rotation, because Assad is hurt right now. You've got Steele, Shota, Tyone, and Boyd. But do you look at Ben Brown as his best work being ultimately as a starter or out of the bullpen?
Mark, I don't. I don't look at it either way. My thoughts for Ben Brown, and it's, you know, not my decision by any means. We all know that. But my thoughts of Ben Brown are, just get this young guy healthy, right? Let's make sure he is okay. Let's make sure, which he is. He's been pitching in spring. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that everything is going the right direction for him, because he is one of those big-time talented arms. So make sure that everything is going the right direction. Then that's that arm and his skill level of what he brings to the table will figure itself out real quick. You know, it's like having an elite player and he's been hurt and you're not sure what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, okay, now we've got him. What do we do with him? It'll figure itself out because he's really good. Those guys, you know, he's not the 26th guy in the roster. He's an elite arm. So those things figure themselves out quick. But it's got to be healthy. He's got to be clear in the head that everything is okay. And once he's that, and he might be, but once that's the case, that roster situation and where he's at will figure itself out quick.
So, Coombe, you know I'm an avid listener during spring training broadcasts, even because of the insight you provide in some of these prospects that we don't always see. And I do appreciate
it. Can you take him out for breakfast, please? He needs to find a hobby.
I'm going
to
put some cinnamon pancakes in this guy after the show, Wildberry.
I need some Yingling, Coombe. Some Yingling.
I can fix that in 2 days, David.
Please do.
All you want.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, we digress. Last weekend is Saturday or Sunday, but I believe you were talking about Moises Ballesteros and the impact and impression he left on you. I was intrigued because, look, as a Cub fan, you hear that and you think, my mind goes to Kyle Schwarber. Have bat will travel. A guy that's going to be in the league for a long time. I don't know if that's a good comp or a bad comp, but I want to know what you saw specifically to make you feel like Ballesteros is going to be a guy that's going to be a big league hitter for a long time.
Just the way he swings the bat, David. He covers the plate. He covers the strike zone. He sprays the ball around the field. He's not strictly pull and elevate, you know, and trying to just go deep. He's going to have good at-bats against anybody that's out on the mound. So left, right, good slider, power guy, sinker guy, he can cover the strike zone. And you just don't see a lot of that. You don't see the guy that can take the high fastball away and shoot it to left field as a young left-hander. Then they throw him a slider down and in, and he can hook it and hit it for a home run. He just has great plate coverage. He has a great sense of being able to get the barrel of the bat to the hitting zone all the time. And you watch him, and that's just a unique talent, and he has it. He's gonna step right out and be a quality hitter. I don't care what league he plays in, he's going to hit.
Love hearing that. I see a Ballesteros for both of you guys, and let me raise you all, if we're doing the prospect thing here really quickly, a Kevin Alcantara, who came from the Yankees in the Anthony Rizzo trade, just to show you the consequences here. But what did you think of watching him, and how do you project and when we might see him playing in the bigs, Coombe?
I would guess if something I think it's, you know, the outfield right now is really full. So that's an issue for him.
Yeah.
So I would say he's probably going to – if I don't know if he's going to make the team or not come, you know, here in another week once the team gets back home from Japan. So he's going to be – I would guess he's probably going to go to the minor leagues, and he would be the first guy called up.
Okay.
Him or Ballesteros would be one of those things, would be the case. If we need an outfielder, he's probably going to be the guy, right? So you look at him, he's got talent. He can run, he can hit, he can throw, do a lot of things. But he's in a spot for the Cubs right now where they're full with outfield, with outfielders. So, yeah, those two guys are kind of, you know, button up to that ceiling of where do they go, you know, with the Cubs roster right now, just to start the season. Things can change in 2 weeks. They really can. Mm-hmm.
So could we know that Matt Shaw got on the plane to Japan? He is in Tokyo right now. Nico Horner did not because he's not ready to start Tuesday international opening day, but he is eyeing the domestic opening day in Arizona as his debut. What do you know about Nico's progress? He's in Arizona now. Is he going against live pitching, or what does he do when the Cubs are out of town?
He is hitting. I don't know if he's seeing live pitching. I would assume he is because we're only a week, you know, what are we, the 27th is the opener. So, you know, we're still, you know, we're not far from that. So I would assume, I have not seen him take live BP. I've seen him do everything else but live BP. And I've seen him on the field. I would say he's probably pretty close. But we'll have to see. You know, they're gonna be pretty. What would you say? They're just gonna be pretty aware of anything that happens with that arm. You know, with him throwing and swinging a bat, it did affect him. When I asked him, it did affect his swing last year. So you know, that'll be the final straw. He's facing a 95 mile an hour fastball, and when you turn on it, how's the elbow feel? How's the arm feel? You okay? And so we'll see how that goes, but. I would think that's probably going on right now here today in the next couple of days.
There are always fun things that happen on opening day in baseball or even at the start of seasons. We mentioned, you know, Tuffy Rhodes has to come to mind. I remember Ian Happ opening up with a home run. I believe it was in 2018. First pitch against the Marlins. Coombe, what do you think of when you think about that kind of stuff? And is there a guy on this roster? I'm not necessarily saying he's going to go Tuffy Rhodes, but somebody who's going to get off to a hot start, maybe relative to what you were seeing and the sound you were hearing off the bat of one of the players, or maybe it's a pitcher.
I would say, you know me, Mark, I look more at the position players.
I get it.
Secret.
Yep.
Yeah. You've experienced that, you know, and so what do you got? Let's talk about the players. I would say the guy that really stands out to me in camp, this spring has been Pete Carr Armstrong.
Nice.
The two young guys that have really taken a step forward, Pete and Michael Bush. I think both of them have taken a major step forward. Michael looks really confident playing now. He there's no issues at first base. He looks confident at the plate. I just think he's taken a big step. And Pete's had an incredible spring. Really has. So if there was one guy I would say that is like ready to burst on the scene and get a great start, would be Pete Crow Armstrong.
Love
it. He has swung a bat well. Defensively, we all know he can do that. He can really fly, and he's looking to take bases, which I love because the opposing team just hates that. And for opposing pitcher to have him on base is going to drive them crazy. So Pete's kind of my pick to click early in the year because he's hot, he's confident to get off to a great start.
I love it, Coombe. Safe travels back, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, David. I really appreciate it. Mark, always great to talk to you, buddy.
Same,
guys,
man.
Have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Same to you. Same, and buddy. Coombe will be at Coombe's Corner in Lockport this weekend for all the St. Patrick's Day festivities. And then here Tuesday and Wednesday, 4:30 pregame shows, Cubs and Dodgers, the season starting right around the corner. He'll be at Wrigley Field for those. And then, of course, he's the brand ambassador, the new brand ambassador for Cubs Radio for Yuengling Beer, the new official beer of Cubs Radio Network on the Score. We come back. Time to go out to Vegas, talk to Mike Palmer, guy at Circa, and the D. It's Mullin Hall with Grody in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D, and Golden Gate.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Twitter at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun don't shine.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in for Mully today as he was yesterday. And time now to go out to our Turo Tire Hotline, the Turo. New tires for spring, aturo.com, where we find Mike Palm, the Vice President of Operations at Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, David and Mark. I'm doing great. We're in the midst of a terrific weekend here with Championship Week. The book, Stadium Swim, really filled up on Wednesday. It was packed by 10 a.m. yesterday. It'll be a raucous atmosphere again today and tomorrow.
I know the afternoon show is looking forward to coming out there in about a week. Spiegel and Holmes, Matt Spiegel, Lawrence Holmes and company, and the crew. Looking forward to another nice weekend in Vegas, a couple days doing shows out there during the tournament and for, I think, opening day of the baseball season. That'll be a lot of fun. And the opening day of the Cub season, as you know, as a Cub fan, is Tuesday. I'm just curious, Mike, when you look at the season and expectations, what's a good, safe, not safe bet necessarily, but what's a smart bet and a way to approach the season for the Cubs?
Well, I think you should bet to win the division. When I look at the division, I don't know that teams did a lot. That they really, you know, really the central division of either league did a heck of a lot. I think the Cubs kind of stand out there. There's a lot of love in the betting windows for the Reds. I think a lot of that has to do with Francona, but the Reds are like a chic team every year. I think the Cubs could win the division at a better price with a plus price than betting them over their win total. And so that's the way I would approach it. I would really be surprised if the Cubs weren't the best team in that division. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win 88 or 90 games, but I think they'll be the best team in the division. It looks like the West, you know, the Dodgers, we can't stop taking bets on the Dodgers. I mean, they're plus 230 to win the World Series. Their win total's up to 105. Looks like the Diamondbacks are going to take a step forward this year. And then you got the three big teams in the East with the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies. So I think just winning the Central is the right way to approach it from a betting perspective.
Yeah, I think that's probably good advice, although Milwaukee always scares me, even with the players that they have lost going into this season. So we shall see how that works out. Swinging it to college basketball, Mike, the worst possible thing that a college basketball fan, in my opinion, can see is Cooper Flagg's sprained left ankle against Georgia Tech. What could that mean if for the NCAA tournament, if Flagg is not playing? Does that throw everything out of whack?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing, especially as a bookmaker. Look, it moved 10 cents is all. Yesterday, Duke was plus 315. Now they're plus 325. We didn't make the move. We didn't move the number based on the injury. That's just with some money coming in on other teams. And, you know, in the last week, Houston's taken some money. Florida's taken some money. They're both down. Houston was 7-1. They're down to 6-1. Florida was plus 725. They're down to plus 625. It looks like he's going to be back for the tournament. If there comes some news that he's not going to play, I don't know. Does it matter on the first weekend? Definitely if it got to the second weekend, then you have to just move the number on its own, because obviously their chances are significantly hurt.
Mike, do you have a team that you would recommend people investing in or keeping an eye on?
You know, so I've collected tickets throughout the course of the year on some of the longer shots. I like to play, and then if you can get them to the Elite Eight, you can make money off them. I had Clemson last year at 120-1, made some money off their run. Remember, they were up pretty good on Alabama in the first half of that Elite Eight game, too. I've got Clemson again this year at 60-1. I'm on Maryland at 55-1. A real flyer on St. Mary's at 125-1. I just keep looking at Michigan State right now. In this whole landscape of college basketball with the NIL and the transfer portal, I don't think a lot of coaches really love their teams. Bill Self certainly doesn't. I think Izzo really loves this group of guys. They don't have a superstar, but boy, do they play well together. I think they're really dangerous right now. The run they put on here the last month. They've played as well as anybody in the country. So I know that the value of them has come way down. I mean, you could have got them at 40-1 2 months ago. That's way down to like 15-1 now. But I think they're a team to watch.
Mike, enjoy Selection Sunday. I know you'll enjoy Cubs season opener on Tuesday. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Yep, we'll be up early in the morning watching it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike Palm, the Vice President of Operations at Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate out in Las Vegas. All right, you mentioned Cooper Flagg in Duke. He's injured. I don't know if he's going to play in the ACC tournament. I don't know if he's going to play in the NCAA tournament. I know it's just an ankle sprain, but what else goes into that decision? How important is it if you're Cooper Flagg to make the right one? And what does it mean to the NBA draft, as we have been talking about all season long here in Chicago during this long slog of a Bulls season? Ugh. We'll talk about all of that next, including what to think about and remember on Selection Sunday. It's Mullen Hall, Grody in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
#CaptureTheFlag.